Can the Noles win out west? Florida State punched his ticket to a super regional, but that ticket's going to take them 2,800 miles out to Corvallis to take on the Oregon State Beavers as both teams battle their way to Omaha. Now, Florida State's looking to make their second consecutive trip under head coach Link Jarrett, but it's not going to be easy as they have to take on a very good, well-coached Oregon State squad. So that's what we're going to talk about today in our super regional preview. What is up, Nole Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear, and thank you for joining me. Look, it's this postseason baseball time. So while we love talking about football on this show, it is primetime baseball talk. So I hope you guys enjoy this. And if you do, make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the channel. I'm also going to be referencing a written preview for this series. That is on our website, plantthespear.com. So make sure you check that out as well to get an in-depth look at this preview coming up this weekend. So let's first talk about how these teams got here. Florida State punched its ticket to a record-setting 19th Super Regional by completing a sweep of the Tallahassee Regional. Now, 19 Super Regionals is great, but Florida State is still pursuing that elusive championship. And hopefully that's something that they can go after this year in a chaotic regional season that we've already seen, where we've seen a lot of top teams already get knocked off the chopping block. So could this be the year? We'll have to wait and see. But I think Link Jarrett is going to be the one to lead Florida State to get its first championship because he's got this program in really good shape and they look pretty hot right now. So hopefully they can get through Corvallis and get that opportunity. But Oregon State is also one of the hotter teams in the country as well. Now, as we know in that Tallahassee Regional, Florida State started out with a win over Bethune-Cookman and then had back-to-back victories against Mississippi State. Now, Florida State did have big performances from Jamie Arnold, from Wes Mendez, going triple digits in pitches with, you know, Jamie Arnold had 13 strikeouts. Wes Mendez had a great eight-inning performance for the Noles there, and they were able to handle their business. But now things turn their focus to Oregon State, who did stumble out of the starting blocks there in their own regional, losing to St. Mary's 4-6. But they did battle back and they beat TCU, St. Mary's, USC twice to win that regional. Now, even though they lost to St. Mary's, one of the reasons why I say that they are one of the hottest teams in the country right now is because those last four games, they beat their opponents 50-6. They beat St. Mary's 20-3, USC 14-1, USC 9-0, and TCU 7-2. So after that stumble, man, this team has been on a tear. So it's going to be pretty tough sledding out there for Florida State out west. Now, the good thing is Florida State is no stranger to making trips out west this year, as they have already went out to Berkeley to face Cal in a series that they won 2-1. However, according to Eric Llewellyn, this will be the furthest that Florida State baseball has traveled since a trip to Hawaii in 2005. This will also be the first time these two programs have faced each other. Now, you know, we already don't like Oregon State because they are the next opponent and they wear orange. And as we say in Tallahassee, friends don't let friends wear orange. But can Florida State take care of business outside of the comforts of Dick Houser Stadium? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And these two teams, when we dive into some of the stats here, you're going to see that these two teams really are identical and they mirror each other. And that's why I think this is going to be such a great super regional matchup between two really good, well-balanced teams. So let's start there. Let's get into the stats first here. As you can see, the records on the season for Florida State is 41-14 compared to Oregon State at 45-13-1. This is actually Oregon State's, I think, fourth 40-win season in a row. So Florida State here does have a slight advantage in the strength of schedule, a little bit of a harder time, you know, harder path getting out there at 23rd to 39th, but not that much different. And you know what really concerns me the most about this series when we look at these two teams, being that Florida State does have to go on the road, is that home away record. We know, as most teams do, home teams typically play better in their own building than on the road. And that is the case for Oregon State and Florida State. But Oregon State does get the host, and they are 21-3 at home. And if you rewind that to the last two seasons, they are 48-5 at home. So this is not going to be an easy task for Florida State. They have to go out west to try and hand a team that's only lost five games in 2 years at home two losses in a weekend. Now, Florida State is 12-6 on the road, had a much better record at home, but still a winning record on the road. Now, when you talk about statistically comparing these teams here, Florida State does have an advantage on offense, although it's a slight one, and Oregon State has a slight advantage on defense, but the gaps, as you'll see, are very minimal. In batting average, Florida State gets the edge here, 311 to 292. In team ERA, Oregon State gets the edge here, 4.32 to 4.65. Scoring in runs per game, Florida State gets the edge here again at 7.9 to 7.6. But on defense, again, runs per game allowed, that's going to go to Oregon State, 4.6 to 4.8. Now, to give you a couple more stats here to go with that just weren't on that graphic there, fielding percentage is almost identical, which is something you don't see a lot because Florida State is one of the better fielding teams in the country. Oregon State does get the slight edge here at 0.982 to 0.980. When you talk about average scoring margin, again, this is where I talk about these two teams mirroring each other. Both teams have won by an average of 3.1 runs per game. Both teams have committed an average of 0.7 errors per game. Florida State hits allowed per game is at 7.3. Oregon State is at 7.4, almost identical. When you talk about hits per game, Florida State does have a edge here at 10.7 to 9.8. Now, Florida State has a little more power in the lineup, 100 home runs in 55 games compared to Oregon State at 94 in 58 games. Now, I want to circle back to that strength of schedule because that was something we talked about in the Tallahassee Regional with Northeastern. They came in on a 27-game win streak, best record in the regional pairing, but they did it against a pretty weak schedule, and they lost two games and got eliminated right out of the gate. So that makes a big difference how much you've been tested. And do keep in mind that Oregon State has been competing as an independent this year since the Pac-12 kind of went by the wayside there. But they've played some pretty tough games now. They played a lot of road games, a lot of neutral site games, and it's been a pretty formidable schedule, but not maybe as tough as Florida State. However, here's what's interesting when I talk about, again, why these teams are going to be such a close matchup. Now, we already talked about your strength of schedule rating gets the edge to Florida State at 23rd to 39th, but both teams, when we dive in a little bit farther, both teams have played 10 games against ranked opponents, and both teams have a 4-6 record against them. Florida State has played 23 quad one games with a 13-10 record, whereas the Beavs have played 21 quad one games with a 10-11 record. But again, like we talked about, perhaps the number that concerns me the most is that 21-3 record at home, 48-5 over the last 2 years, and the Noles being 12-6 on the road and having to go that far to play against them. So I do want to mention one thing about that record because it is interesting when you dive in a little bit further. Oregon State during the regular season went 17-2 at home, but only played two teams ranked in the top 50 in RPI. One of those was UC Irvine, number 22 in RPI, number 23 in D1 baseball rankings. And Oregon State did win that series, but they dropped the first game 12-0. So they kind of got handled in that first game. They also played Oregon at home. They played them four times a season, but only once at home. And Oregon is number 20 in RPI, number 5 in D1 baseball. Pretty probably the most comparable opponent they've had all year to Florida State there, who Oregon did make a regional and got eliminated. And they lost that game 8-4 at home. So in my opinion, when I'm looking at the numbers here, I think Florida State will definitely be their toughest test at home this season. Now, Oregon State has played one other team that is a top 10 in RPI, and that is Auburn, who they played at a neutral site, and they lost that game. Florida State is ranked 9th in RPI. But if we expand that scope a little bit further to teams ranked in the top 25 of the RPI, and include the regional play, which brings TCU into the picture, they have played six teams that are ranked in the top 25 of RPI. And Oregon State is only 4-7 in those games. Now, to be fair, Florida State has only played three teams currently ranked in the top 25 of RPI, and that is Florida, Clemson, and UNC, and they are only 4-6 against them. But the point I want to make with this is to show that Oregon State has not gone unblemished against the better competition that they faced, whether it be at home or on the road. It also reminds us that Florida State needs to rise to the occasion against this better competition and look like they did against Clemson rather than what they did against UNC. Now, when we talk about Oregon State getting the home field advantage, They did set an attendance record at Goss Stadium last weekend with 4,368 in attendance. That's pretty much on par for most of the stadiums that FSU played in, so the crowd factor probably won't be anything that Florida State is not already used to. It's not anything like, you know, in Mike Martin's final season where they had to go out and try and win in Baton Rouge with a baseball stadium that holds 10,000. So it's not going to be anything like that. And hopefully some of our West Coast Knoll family will be in attendance to make some noise for the away team. Now, let's talk about Oregon State's offense and defense here, giving you a quick preview of what you need to know. Florida State holds a statistical edge over the Beavs in most offensive categories, like we mentioned. But that offensive explosion in those final four games of the regional shows how potent this lineup can be. Oregon State has five batters with double-digit at-bats hitting over 300. The offense is led by a pair of juniors, probably going to say his name wrong, Iva Arquette, A-I-V-A, and Gavin Turley. Both players have an average of 352 with 18 home runs this season. Arquette does carry a slight lead over Turley with a team-leading 80 hits compared to Turley's 77 and 65 RBIs compared to 64 for Turley. But again, they are neck and neck, and Arquette actually has a couple more at-bats there. So these are the two names to really watch in that lineup. But I'm going to give you one more name to keep your eye on, and that is sophomore third baseman Trent Carraway. In the Corvallis Regional, Carraway hit 529 with five home runs, one in every single game, drew seven walks, drove in 10 RBI, and scored nine runs. So he's kind of been like our Miles Bailey over the last month. So when it comes to Florida State's pitching staff, they need to bring their A game because Oregon State has the weapons to make you pay if you don't. I mean, again, they scored 50 runs in the last four games. Now, as far as on the base pass, Easton Tault does lead the team in stolen bases with 10 bags on 13 attempts, and Arquette is second with six on seven attempts. And Oregon State, now, as we flip over to the pitching and the defense here, this is kind of where it gets exciting because this is going to be a couple of really good matchups here. Now, I don't have the pitching matchups yet because they have yet to been released. But if we're going kind of based on how things typically go for both teams and how things went in the regional, which obviously Florida State was probably not going to worry about saving Jamie Arnold for game two, whereas they did in the regional there. It'll probably be good on good in game one. And that means it will be Jamie Arnold, left-handed pitcher, against right-handed freshman Dax Whitney. Now, as far as your record here goes, pretty even stuff. Jamie Arnold has a little better record here at 8-2 compared to 6-3 for Whitney. Innings, Jamie Arnold's thrown 78 to 66.2. ERA, Jamie Arnold gets the edge here, 3.12 to 3.78. Both pitchers are up to triple-digit strikeout numbers on the season. You have Whitney here with 101 and Jamie Arnold with the slight edge there at 110. Jamie Arnold with a few less walks, 26 to 33, and a slightly better opponent batting average at 206 versus 220. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams in the country. There's a lot of good pitchers in the country, but not many are as good as Jamie Arnold. And we saw that on display against Mississippi State when he threw seven innings, over 100 pitches, and racked up 13 strikeouts. So you're going to need him to be hot in that game when he is on the mound because, again, this is a potent lineup. Now, when we get to Saturday, if Florida State goes with Joey Vellini, it's probably going to be Ethan Kleinschmidt for the Beavs, left-handed pitcher. These two are almost identical from what you can see here on the stat sheet. Kleinschmidt has an 8-3 record compared to 8-5 for Joey Vellini. Both have pitched 80 innings on the season. Joey Vellini has a slim margin better on the ERA here at 3.68 to 3.70 for Kleinschmidt. Vellini has a slight lead again in strikeouts, 97 to 95. Five less walks, 25 to 30. But Kleinschmidt gets the advantage in opponent batting average at 203 to 235. Now, if things go to a game three, and hopefully they don't, but if they go to a game three or Florida State decides to mix it up, chances are you're obviously going to have Wes Mendez coming in there on Sunday, and you'll probably see Wyatt Queen, right-handed pitcher, or Eric Segura, also a right-hander there, pitching for them. And again, you have a couple of guys here who are very, very even on the stat sheet. So, man, these pitching matchups are almost going to be a draw. Now, one thing that does worry me a little bit out here, especially if this goes to a game three, is that one of the biggest strengths for Oregon State is the depth of their pitching staff. They have six pitchers with at least 40 innings of work, and five of them have at least 50 strikeouts. For comparison's sake, Florida State only has three that have done the same amount, and that's all three of their starters. So there's a little more depth advantage for Oregon State there. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. Florida State's bullpen did put up 9 scoreless innings in the Tallahassee Regional. So, man, if they can carry that over to the Super Regional, that would be great to see. When we talk about some final thoughts here as we get ready to wrap this up and some keys for Florida State to get out of Corvallis with a win, these are kind of what the things I'm looking for out there. I think key number one, you need to win with Arnold, right? Obviously, no shade to Joey Vellini, no shade to Wes Mendez, but, you know, Jamie Arnold is your racehorse, right? He is your star. You want to take advantage of having him on the mound, probably in game one, not putting yourself in a hole, and then having to win two games with your number two and number three pitcher. You really need to get out to a hot start, win game one with Jamie Arnold, and take advantage of how good he is. The next one is going to be something that we kind of talked about, that is how you combat that depth. And that is having long outings by your starters. We saw Wes Mendez and Jamie Arnold go over triple digits in pitchings, 7 innings for Arnold, 8 innings for Wes Mendez. Now, Joey Vellini kind of didn't get a fair shake of things in the Bethune-Cookman game because it was had a 2-hour and 20-minute rain delay and they couldn't bring him back out. But you need your starters, in my opinion, to probably go 6 to 7 innings so you don't have to rely on that bullpen. Because again, they looked good in the Tallahassee Regional, but they have been a little bit inconsistent. So the least amount you have to rely on them, the better. So long outings by your starters would be key here. Also, when I say stay hot at the plate, I'm talking about the guy on the slide here, and that's Miles Bailey. Look, Bailey has been on an absolute heater the last month. 5.56 average in the Tallahassee Regional, 7 RBIs, drew 6 walks, hit 2 home runs, and a grand slam. You need Miles Bailey to stay hot at the plate. The next thing here is veteran leaders to step up. Look, Alex Lodice is one of the best, if not the best player in college baseball right now. He's great on defense, great on offense, and you need him to step up in this game. I'm also talking about guys like Drew Ferreau, Gage Harrelson, who have been crucial to this lineup. But really the one I'm talking about here is Max Williams. Now, Max did come through when Florida State needed it most against Mississippi State, but he batted 3 of 13 with 6 strikeouts in the regional. You just can't have that happen. You got to have that bat be a little bit hotter out there in Corvallis. But the one thing I will say is during last year's run to Omaha, some of the stars in the lineup were slumping, and you had some unlikely heroes step up to make the magic happen. And a couple of guys here like Kyle Fisher and Chase Williams have really been on a hot streak. And so I'm hoping to see those guys continue that. And my final key here is capitalize on opportunities. Florida State in that Mississippi State game trailed 2-0 all the way through the 7th inning. And I did hear at one point during the broadcast where they said that as of the 5th inning, Florida State had stranded 10 runners so far. And they had a couple times, I think, where the bases were even loaded, and they did not get any runs out of those opportunities. This has been something that has been an issue for Florida State basically all season long. And, you know, when you're talking about going against a team that scored 50 runs in the last 4 games, you just can't waste those opportunities. So that's going to be one of the big things for Florida State, is to not waste those scoring opportunities and do a little bit better with runners in scoring position. So as we get ready to wind this thing down, the action does start on Friday night. Now, there were a couple of regionals that were a Saturday to Monday, which I wish Florida State had gotten that instead of the Friday to Sunday draw, because at that point, now you have to go all the way across the country on kind of short rest. Now, at least you didn't have to play Monday. You were already decided on Sunday, so that helps a little bit. But with that series in jeopardy, you really couldn't even start making plans because you didn't know if you were going to be hosting or not. Because if Oregon State had lost, this Super Regional would be in Tallahassee. But again, starts on Friday, June the 6th at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. Game 2 will air on Saturday, June the 7th at 9 p.m. late night start for Florida State. For those of us here on the East Coast on ESPN2, if Game 3 is necessary, it will take place on Sunday, June the 8th, but times and TV networks will be to be determined depending on whether that game is necessary or not. Now, hopefully it's not, and it works in our favor. So we just want to wish the guys the best of luck out there in Corvallis as they try and punch their ticket back to Omaha and try and win a College World Series. So I appreciate you guys watching. That's going to be our preview for the Corvallis Super Regional as Florida State gets ready to take on Oregon State with a trip to Omaha on the line. So thank you guys so much for watching. Like and subscribe if you enjoy this baseball content. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noles fans. And again, make sure you check out plantthespear.com as I already have published a written preview article that you can check out over there for this series. Make sure you check back on Friday. Michael will be back. We'll be talking about some Florida State football. He's living his best life on a cruise right now. I'm a little jealous that he kind of left me here, but that's okay. I'm not going to hold it against him. He'll be back on Friday to talk some FSU football. So excited for that. I also have the recruiting update episode that I'm going to be rolling out very soon, as soon as I get the time to sit down and record it. This kind of took precedence right now because, again, you know, guys, we love football here, but man, this baseball team deserves to be talked about more as well. So that's going to do it, guys. I appreciate you tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one. Thanks, as always, and go Noles.